Good morning. And welcome to worship. Please join me in the call to worship. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has worked wonders, whose right hand and holy arm have brought salvation. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing psalms to the Lord with the harp, with the sound of music.
please join me in the prayer of adoration? Mighty God, we do not yet see the glory you plan for all humankind, but in faith we do see Jesus. We thank you for the humility and holiness in which he lived and died. We praise you that he freed us from our sin, that he comforts and strengthens us through our struggles, and that he gives us courage to follow him. For this, we now join with all creation and shout for joy. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Amen. Please take a moment and greet your neighbor.
Powerful name it is. Nothing can stand. stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. That the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but He brought me in, oh, His love for me. Yes, His love for me, who the Son sets free, oh, is free. He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me, who the Son sets free. Oh, is free. I am in my Father's house. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am. I am who You say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Please hear the call to confession. Since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have great priests over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us confess our sins in silent prayer. Amen. Out of the depths, I cry to You, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice.
Let Your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If You, O Lord, should mark my iniquities, Lord, who
but there is forgiveness with You, so that You may be revered.
I
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. The Declaration of Forgiveness from 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed.
And it is in this forgiveness that we now come before our God. I have a few updates as far as the prayer list goes. Jean Bauer is looking to get into Mayo, still having a few struggles there and would like some second opinions and maybe some further healing from that. So if you could pray for her that she'd be able to get into Mayo, it's pretty, it can take a long time to get in sometimes. And so we want to pray that the Lord would open up a spot for her soon. Also, Bill Eiler's grandson, Carl, is doing well. So praise the Lord for that. We can rejoice together for him. And one that is not on here yet, Rena Pearson. Some of you may remember her and her mother, Kathy, who used to come here. She no longer lives in Marshalltown, but she... We got a call yesterday that she is in the hospital. So prayers for her healing. She'll probably be there for a few more days. And that God would just comfort and guide her in that hard time. As well, Sue and Jim Palong, which is Bert Tice's sister and brother-in-law, have separate medical concerns going on at the same time. You might have saw this on the prayer chain. But Jim is having foot surgery. And he already had part of his leg amputated, or part of his foot amputated. So prayers for his healing and recovery from that, that he would heal quickly, as well as his wife, Sue, is starting another round of radiation for her cancer, which is still growing, unfortunately, in her lungs. So those are the new prayer requests, and in light of that, I ask that you would bow your heads and pray with me this morning. Lord, we come before you and we ask that your Spirit would intercede for us, that you would give us the words for our groanings, that you would help us, Lord, to pray rightly before you. But we come and we pray as we know how, and we thank you for the wonderful mystery that you are, for the good God that you are, that you see us in all of these concerns, and that you desire to heal your people in both heart and mind and body. And so we come before you this morning, and we lift these concerns, the ones on the list and the ones that are not. You know them, Lord. You know all of the groanings in our hearts. You know the different things that make us weep and rejoice. And we praise you for Carl and his healing, Lord. We ask that you would continue to be working in his life and healing him, that you would be with Rena in this scary time, that you would give her peace and comfort in the hospital, and that you would continue to guide her path, Lord, that you would give her direction and good people to walk alongside her and guide her. We also pray for Jean. Would you be with her? Would you get her this appointment at Mayo, Lord? Get her the care that she needs, that they might discover what exactly is going on and be able to treat it rightly, Lord, so that she can continue doing your mission in this world. We thank you for the healing that she has already seen and that we have been able to come alongside her in that. We pray continued healing over Mabel. Would you strengthen her body, Lord? Would you bring her home in the coming weeks? Would you open up her airways and her digestive system? Would you be working miracles in that tiny body, Lord? And we thank you for the life and the joy that she brings already, that you are guiding her. We thank you that you have gotten her this far, and you will continue to carry her, Lord. As you see all of these people on this list, we thank you that you know their bodies better than any doctor could. You know exactly what healing they need, and we know that you are a healer and that you love to heal, so we ask that you come and heal these people, Lord. We pray healing over Laverne and Marla, Linda, Mike, Reese, Sue, and Jim, Christy, Mercedes, Yasio, Rena, Sophie, and everyone else, Lord, who is a part of our body that needs your healing today. Would you comfort them in this time, Lord? Give them strength and assurance that there is a joy set before them greater than any pain they could experience here. We thank you for your presence and work in this world, even the work that we do not see, Lord, that we do not even know to ask for. We thank you that you are a mighty presence, and we pray for peace in our world, for Israel and Palestine. Lord, would you stop that conflict? Would you be working in the lives of their leaders, as well as in Ukraine and Russia? Would you make your presence and holy name known to these people? Would you comfort them in the midst of war? Would you guide them? Would this be a time of springing up in your church, where people are forced to remember that you are God and you are sovereign over all, and the hope that you give? And we thank you for that hope that meets us in the middle of our everyday worries and also life-threatening disaster, Lord. We pray for our missionaries who are doing work overseas and in the U.S., for all of those who are fighting that your name would be known, that are doing the good work of healing, being your hands and feet in this world. And I pray that you would encourage us, Lord, in our work, that whatever it is that you've set before us, would you give us the wisdom and discernment to ask, to wait on you, to pursue what it is that you would have us pursue in our everyday lives, Lord. And we thank you for the task that you've set up before us, that we are not in charge of all of everything going on, Lord, but we can surrender control to you and work diligently at what you've set before us. We thank you for the good organizations that are working in our town. We thank you for YSS, and for the work that they do. Would you bless that work, Lord? Would you be bringing more people to walk alongside of them and the youth that they help? And so, Lord, as we come before you, we pray together the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward and receive this morning's offering.
Well, I appreciate you asking me to be here with you this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. My name is Gordon Moan. I've been in this presbytery for a really long time, and I've been to this congregation, this church, several times in the past, and I was looking forward to coming here this morning because it's such a lovely sanctuary and a lovely place to worship God. So thank you for inviting me this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is going to come from the book of Acts, out of the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 26. And I would invite you now to listen for the word of God. Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. It is a wilderness road." So he got up and he went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of Ethiopians. in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go. Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading a paragraph or reading from the prophet Isaiah. And he asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. "Like sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb silent before the shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. "The grass will wither and the flowers will fade, but this, the word of the Lord, will endure forever. Thanks be to God. Amen." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable to you, O God. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if those easy to assembly instructions that you get were actually easy and didn't require an engineering degree from some major university to figure out what they were actually telling you to do? Wouldn't it be nice if that user-friendly computer program that you just put on your computer was actually user-friendly? Wouldn't it be nice if it didn't rain the day after you washed and waxed your car? Wouldn't it be nice as if when you sat down for dinner or supper, whatever you call the evening meal, the phone didn't ring because you know it's, especially in Iowa this time of the year, it's going to be some sort of political poll or maybe some salesman who wants to sell you something and knows that your warranty on your car that you've had for 10 years just ran out? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if you called your credit card company or your power company and you got a real person instead of a recording that asks you to pick one of a dozen different choices by pushing a number on your phone or on your, and then by the time you hear all 12 options, you've forgotten what the first one, so then you got to listen to all 12 again. And after 20 minutes of trying to figure out which option to choose, you get to the next location and they offer you another 10 or 12 options. And after another time of going through it all, you finally get through and they put you on hold for the next customer service representative because they appreciate your business. Wouldn't it be nice if the day after your warranty expired, your computer did not crash or the transmission didn't fall out of your car? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if God sent a messenger to tell you where to go, points out the person that you are to speak to, that has a passage on his mind from the Bible that you actually know something about, and asks you to help him understand it? And then after you explain everything you know about it, actually listens and understands and is moved to follow Jesus Christ and wants to be baptized, and there just happens to be a pond of water standing right next to you and wants to join the church. And just for a little extra optimism or a little extra emphasis, the Spirit snatches you up and takes you some other place to where everybody listens to you speak. Everybody wants to follow Jesus. Everybody wants to join the church. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? Well, wouldn't be nice might be the response of a majority of Christians who are reading this morning's marvelous text from the book of Acts. Wouldn't it be nice if God worked that way today? Now, maybe we Presbyterians respond this way because this text really does not seem to be a very Presbyterian type passage. It's filled with the activity of the Holy Spirit involved in aligning up events and getting people together. But we Presbyterians, we like our reason, we like our words, we like our theology, we like decent, and we like in order. Too much spirit makes us nervous. The text also has a strong evangelistic theme, if I dare say the E word in church. And for you lovers of the Book of Order, you might have noticed that there was that baptism performed without the approval of the session. But maybe what bothers us most might be the evangelistic message about witnessing or sharing our faith stories about why we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord. We know the commission that we've received from Jesus: go and teach and baptize. But to really go and talk to somebody about our faith, we actually begin to sound a little bit like Moses. But God, who am I that they should listen to me? What reason do I have to say anything? Who should I say sent me? Oh, you know, I don't know enough about the Bible. Or, you know, I don't speak too good, God. And what if they reject me? So wouldn't it be nice if it worked out for us just like it did for Philip? The Spirit would just lay everything out for us. No risks, no rejections, 100% chance of success. And wouldn't that really be nice? But you see, I'm not so sure that it was so easy for Philip either. He's being sent out to a deserted place, a desert place, in the middle of nowhere. He's being sent out to evangelize, but why go to a place where there's going to be nobody to speak to? Where will be the great crowds? Not in a deserted place. Not in the desert. Philip could have said no to that foolish idea. But he didn't. Then Philip is told to go speak to the eunuch, a powerful man in the court of the queen of Ethiopia. He had been at the temple to worship, but see, he was a eunuch. He would have been considered incomplete, unclean, unacceptable, because he's not our kind. Philip could have said no, but he didn't. He finds out that the eunuch's desire is to understand Scripture, and after Philip sits down and tells him everything he wants to know and tells him about the story of Jesus, the eunuch wants to be baptized in a pond of water in the middle of a desert that they are passing by at that very moment. Philip could have maintained his prejudices and said, no, the eunuch is not an acceptable type of person for baptism. Philip could have said no. But he didn't. And then one of the most poignant moments that happened is when the eunuch asks Philip, "What prevents me from being baptized?" Oh, Philip could have listed reasons. Instead, he is quiet, and his silence is deafening. The answer is, it speaks of God's intent. What prevents him from being baptized? Nothing prevents this baptism, because it was God who brought them to this point, to this place, for this purpose. Philip baptizes the eunuch. Oh, Philip could have said no, but he didn't. And just as quickly, Philip is snatched up by the Spirit, taken to a new place with new opportunities to share his faith and the stories of Jesus, and to a new place where lives can be changed and transformed by that very same Spirit who took Peter to the deserted place to meet the eunuch. At these different points of the story, Philip could have said no for any number of reasons. And he could have ended the story right at that point. Philip could have said no, but he didn't. And wouldn't it be nice if it were that easy? Wouldn't it be nice if God were at work in our lives and in our churches, just like the day of Philip? Oh, wouldn't it be nice? While attending Austin Theological Seminary, students could sign up for preaching opportunities in surrounding communities around Austin. And I think it was in my senior year that I signed up to go to the First Presbyterian Church in Corpus Christi, Texas, to preach. Now, it's a four-hour drive from Austin, Texas, to Corpus. And so we needed to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning so that we could be there for the 10:30 service. We had a plan. We got into the car with this plan that I would drive the first 2 hours, and then after 2 hours, my wife Kathy would drive the last 2 hours so I could sit in the passenger seat and go over my sermon in the service and get ready to lead worship. Well, after 2 hours, Kathy took over the driving duties. Me sitting in the passenger seat, I pulled out my briefcase, I opened it up. To my surprise, no sermon. So I did the obvious thing. I closed my briefcase, I waited 30 seconds, and then I opened it up again, because I must have opened it up the wrong way, because now the sermon should be there. But still no sermon. And yes, I tried it a third time. You see, I had left that sermon on my desk in Austin, Texas, and we were way beyond the point of no return in order to get to the church on time to lead worship. I was desperate, you might say. But in my desperate search for my sermon, I found an old sermon that I had preached a couple months earlier. So I did what I had to do, and I decided that I would preach the old sermon. But now when it got to the church, when it came time for me to read the scriptures and to preach the sermon, I kind of knew that they would know something was wrong, and that I would have to explain to them that I wasn't reading the scriptures that were in the bulletin, or I wasn't preaching on the title that was in the bulletin. So what do? I decided to be honest. I told them that I would really like to be able to say that the scripture reading this morning has been changed and the sermon will be different because of divine intervention. But that's not it, I told them. I told them that the truth was that I forgot my sermon at home, and I'm using another sermon that I had written earlier in the year. And so I went on and I preached and I prayed and I got through the service. And the people were kind to me as they left, as church people usually are. I went into the sanctuary to get my things so we could head back to Austin. The lights in the sanctuary had been turned off. The sanctuary was empty. It was dim. And as I was putting my sermon into my briefcase and my Bible into my briefcase, I heard the sanctuary door close. I looked up and there was a woman walking down the center aisle. She came up to me, and I was expecting words of disappointment because of my mistake. And she said, "I just want to tell you that when I got up this morning, I wasn't going to come to church. I didn't feel like it. But for some reason, I came. And I'm glad I did. Because the words that you were said in your sermon were the exact words that I needed to hear today. Thank you." She turned and she walked away. I stood there, kind of shocked and amazed. Because the irony is that just minutes before, I had told the congregation that the sermon I was about to preach was not because of divine intervention, but because it was of my mistake. And now I hear a woman says she did not know why she came to church, but she heard the message and the words that she needed to hear out of a sermon that was preached out of desperation. Coincidence? Or was God making it nice? 50 days after Easter, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. It's coming up pretty soon. It's the one Sunday of the year when we focus on the Holy Spirit. We wear red to church. We sing songs about the Spirit. It's that one Sunday of the year that we Presbyterians feel as if we just might break out in the middle of worship with a shout of hallelujah. And then the next Sunday we go back to ordinary time. Why do we limit the Spirit to one Sunday a year? Why not let the Spirit run and turn our lives over every day? Well, maybe the reason we don't notice the Spirit at work in our lives is because we have such low expectations for this third person of the Trinity. Yes, the Father, the Son, and, oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit too. But there are some simple questions to think about as to the presence of the Spirit in our lives. The first is, why are you here today? It's been a challenging few years with COVID and all the results of it. For a long time, we could not meet together. We worshiped by Zoom or by recorded video, or maybe you live streamed it on Facebook. It would have been easy to go our own ways. It could have been easy to find new ways to spend our Sunday morning, and some have done just that. But you haven't. And so we gather, we sing, we pray, we listen, we give, we minister, and even through the times that we couldn't be in the same place, we sought each other out. What is it that binds us? What is it that keeps us together and maintains this desire to gather again and again and again on a Sunday morning to worship God? Is it the Spirit that calls us? Is it the Spirit that's making it nice? Think about the people involved in shaping your faith. Who taught you about Jesus? Who showed you the example of what life with Jesus should look like? Think about the people that have crossed your paths, that have left a little bit of faith behind with you, and helped you grow just a little bit more in Christ. Were they chance meetings? Or was the Holy Spirit making it nice? Think about the moments when you needed to hear something, experience something, learn something, do something that would lift your spirits and reassure you that your faith is important. To keep believing, to keep walking, to keep seeking, to keep trusting in the love of God for you. And then something happens. Someone appears. Were those moments of confidence, were they times of coincidence, or was the Spirit making it nice? What today's text reminds us is that the Spirit is at work in the gathering of God's people by creating moments where paths cross, lives are changed, relationships are formed, faith grows, and new life begins in Christ. What the Scripture asks us to do is to be like Philip and say yes to the Spirit. It might be to go, to speak, to serve, to listen, to receive, to give. We might be asked to look and listen for the Spirit who shows up sometimes in the most unexpected places and asks us to do the most unexpected things in the most unexpected opportunities against all of the greatest odds. Reverend Richard C. Halverson wrote a benediction that is widely used. He was a chaplain at the U.S. Senate. It's a benediction that I frankly heard the first time when I was sitting right about there in this sanctuary. It was years ago. And Pastor Rich used it to end a worship time. I think it was either at the end of a presbytery meeting or at a seminar of some type that you all hosted. I later learned it again at an educational event that we had as a presbytery. And I know a number of pastors who now use it for a closing benediction on every Sunday morning. And I have since used it from time to time in my own worship leading. My guess is you might know it. And if you do and you want to say it with me, you can just join right in. I don't mind. But friends, remember that you are a follower of Christ. And you go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. The very Christ who fills you has something he wants to do through you wherever you are. Believe this and go in God's love, God's grace, and God's power. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It reminds us that just like Philip, that where we are has a purpose and a call. Cole Arthur Riley makes a simple point about the book of Genesis, the first chapter of creation story in Genesis. A very poignant point that I've overlooked for years. Simple, but it's so true. He points out that God made a place for us before God made us. God made the oceans and the seas and the lakes and the rivers before God created the fish. God made the sky before God made the birds. God created the ground and the plants and the trees of every kind before God made the animals. God made this earth before God made us. This is especially important in times of transition in our lives and in our churches. We have something to do. And it's not by chance or by coincidence that we are the ones to do it. Because we are called to this place. And we don't need to ask, wouldn't it be nice if God was at work in our lives? Through the Spirit, God is at work. And like Philip, is waiting for us to say yes. Today's challenge is to say yes and see what God will do through each of us and in this church today, tomorrow, and for the days ahead. And you know what? I think it's going to be nice. Amen. Let us sing together our communion hymn, which is 462. You may be seated. Friends, this is a joyful feast of the people of God, and they will come from the north and the south and the east and the west to sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he invites all who believe and trust in him to come to this table, be fed by the Spirit and by the presence of the living Christ here and now in this place, in this time. He invites all who believe, all who trust, and all are welcome. As we prepare to receive this gift of grace from God, let us now give our thanks and let us pray. We praise you, O God, for establishing a hospitable place, a fruitful garden, where people you loved into existence are invited to live in harmony with you. And we come with gratitude to offer prayers of thanksgiving, which is our greatest joy. And loving Creator God, you have made us in your image and set us in this beautiful creation to be stewards, to live in love and peace with all. When we chose to have it all for ourselves and to go our own way, we found our freedom became a struggle for survival. When we cried out in our misery, you delivered us from our captivity and made a covenant to be our sovereign God. And by the prophets, you called us to return to you and to your way. It is at this table, O God, that we bear witness to the love that has been poured out into our hearts and into our lives. Remember how far you will go to reveal your love to us through Jesus Christ, giving his life on the cross for the salvation of the world. We remember and celebrate his resurrection. We remember and celebrate his ascension to your right hand. And joining you to rule in unity with the Holy Spirit, all this is done out of love for your creation. Oh, gracious God, we give you thanks for such an outpouring of love as we are fed by this meal of grace. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, O God, and upon these gifts of bread and juice, that they may be for us the body and the blood of Christ, his life in us. And renewed by his life and recreated in his image, we set our minds on fulfilling your purpose for us and for this world of which we are a part. As this bread is the body of Christ, nourishing our spirits, may we go out into the world to be the body of Christ as your faithful disciples. Be with us, O God, as we receive this meal of grace by your presence. For we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took the bread, and after giving thanks for it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In a similar way, he took the cup, saying that this cup is a new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink from it, do this in remembrance of me. Because every time that you eat from this bread and you drink from this cup, you do proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. May we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. These are the good gifts of God for you, the people of God. The meal is ready. Be prepared to be fed. Bread. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. You want to hold the basket. There is but one cup of salvation. Drink from it, all of you. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that we have been fed by this banquet and renewed by Christ's life in us. Nourished and refreshed, we go now to share that life with others. Send us from this place, equipped by the power of your Spirit, to follow Jesus and to spread the message of his love to all whom we meet. For we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And let us now sing our song of response, which is 353, The Victory in Jesus. Precious blood atoning, then I repent.
Announcements for us before we have the benediction and go forward. First of all, stay for Sunday school. I'll be teaching on prayer It's a continuation of the series on supplication today. So stay for that, and children will have gathering as well. We might be a few minutes behind. There's still coffee and donuts as well in the fellowship hall. I would like to announce again that VBS will be the 10th through the 13th of June. If you're around and would like to help with that, please let me know, email me, or come talk to me. I would love more volunteers. For that, I will have in the coming weeks some donation slips for you guys if you would like to help in that way. There will be monetary donations, different things you can give toward, or different craft supplies and things that we'll be needing. One thing I will say ahead of time, I'm looking for hard plastic bottles, so clear plastic bottles like a pop bottle, that I can take the labels off and use for a craft. So if you have those just lying around in your house, please bring them. And toilet paper tubes. So if you have either of those things laying around, I would love help with that. As well, registration is open for VBS. So for your kids and grandkids and whoever else you might think to invite, it's up on our website. So direct them there, and we'll have postcards to hand out next week as well if you'd like a paper copy of that information. Any other announcements that I'm missing from people? All right, great.
Please rise for the benediction. You go from this place not alone, but you take with you the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the living Spirit of the living Christ, to go out and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all that you meet. And know that the Holy Spirit is at work making it nice. And friends, remember that you are followers of Christ. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. The very Christ who fills you has something that he wants to do through you wherever you are. Believe this and go in God's love, in God's grace, and God's power. And also may you go in the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and be with God now and forever. And let all God's people say, Amen. Amen.